Welcome this morning to the services of the Lord's house. We are gathered together to hear his word and to receive the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, O Christ, You Walk the Road.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 22nd, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Darren Jacob, Diane Breen, and Casey Jones. The opening hymn is number 424, O Christ, You Walk the Road, hymn number 424 in the Lutheran Service Book. Donna McLaughlin is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Scott McLaughlin. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Vernon and Janet Clackengay's 64th wedding anniversary on February 18th.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship in praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the introduction of the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven.
What does this mean?
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the verse. Return to the Lord
your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If the children would like to come forward for a children's message, they are invited to do so at this time. Okay, so here we have in our first reading today the account, the history of mankind's fall into what we call sin, mankind's, people's disobedience to God. And, you know, I noticed something very interesting in this. So when the narrator talks, like you've got books where narrators talk, right? Where there's somebody telling the story, and then there's the characters in the story. When the narrator talks, God is referred to as the Lord God. In other words, his first name, Yahweh, and he is the Lord and God. This is a way of talking that is close, very familiar. It's kind of like saying dad. Okay? Dad's close by. He's there in the house. He's with you. He is someone who's got your best interest at heart and your best interest in his mind and thoughts. But when the devil comes, and the devil is the tempter, the one who tries to get us to do things that are against God's will, when the devil comes and he talks, he says, did God really say? He's trying to take God and make him feel farther away. Feel away. And I was thinking about this, and I was kind of like, so my dad's name was James or Jim. Right? Now, when I spoke to my dad and I talked to my dad, I called him Dad. I would have never, ever thought about calling my dad by his first name. I wouldn't have walked up to the supper table and said, well, hello, Jim. No, that wasn't right. That wouldn't be right. Because I don't need to call him by a first name because I've got a better relationship with him than calling my dad by his first name. I get to call him Dad. So what the devil is trying to do is make God our Father seem far away. And it started to work. He says to Eve, did God, you know, who's ever way out there and he's off at a distance and he doesn't care about you and doesn't pay attention to you and he doesn't mind, he's not watching you closely. You know, did God really say not to eat of any tree? And Eve doesn't call her creator the Lord God. She calls him God too. She started listening to the words of the devil. And then the devil speaks and he says, You know, God doesn't. God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you're nothing bad's gonna happen to you. You know, your eyes will be open and you'll be like gods, little gods. And she's like, well, it looks good. It smells good. It seems okay. She took some and she ate of the fruit. And of course she gave some to her husband who was close by, and he ate of it too. She gave it to Adam. And their eyes were opened and they knew that they didn't have any clothes on. And the fall, what we call the fall into sin, had started to happen. Then comes the narrator. He comes back into the story. And he says, the Lord God was walking in the cool of the evening. And he keeps referring him to the Lord God. And it's like saying, then Dad was walking in the area. So the point is that God is close to us. He is near each and every one of us. He is present with us all of the time. But our enemy, the devil, wants us to think about him as if he's far away, he's not paying attention, and he doesn't care. But that's so far from the truth. The truth of the matter is God is with us all the time. He is with us every day and every night. He's with us every minute. He is with us in every way that he can be, every shape and form that he is. And that means he's with us all of the time. And he stays with us and watches over us and cares for us and protects us and keeps us safe. So we never want to think of God as if he's far away or out there somewhere. We want to trust God and that he is right by us and really close. Let's pray. Dear God, we know that you are close to each and every one of us. So close indeed that you want us to call you Abba, or Daddy, Father. Be that close to us all the time. Protect us from the assaults of our enemy, the devil, and keep us safe and sound in the church so that we might come to eternal life. This we ask in the name of that same Jesus who lived and died and rose again for us. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you will, please return to your seats and we continue with the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 718, Jesus Lead Thou On, hymn number 718 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 3, the temptation of Eve and Adam. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to take a look back this morning in the text to that blissful time when the world had just been created, when everything was perfect and there was no sin in the world. It's hard to imagine a world without sin. It's hard to imagine what that would be like. A world with no hate, a world with no revenge, no crime, no prisons, no police, no sickness, no hospitals, no cemeteries, no death. Yes, it would be a different world if sin and its dire consequences were absent from it. But our text tells us about the beginning of sin in the world. The devil plays his part by tempting humanity to sin. Originally created good, in some way only hinted at in the Holy Scriptures, the devil fell and was cast out of heaven. As it is written in the book of Jude, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment day comes. The devil believes that he is equal to God and that he is the one who should be sitting on the throne of heaven. And he is God's enemy, plotting and seeking the ruin of God's creatures. He can't assail God himself, so he assails us in God's place. Now, we want to note what he does to our first parents. We want to note how slick the devil actually is. The devil knows God has forbidden man to eat the fruit of a certain tree that is within the garden, and that a deadly punishment is attached to that disobedience if it were to occur. But what does the devil do? He sows the seeds of doubt and mischief. Did God really say? Did God really mean that when he said that? No, you will not die. You will be like God. You will not lose by eating of the tree. In fact, you will actually gain. And so it is that the devil comes to man, making his deception seem desirable. He adjusts the temptation to the nature of the person being tempted. So, for instance, if you lean towards pride, right, God will, or the devil will tempt you to lean towards and win fame by sinful means, right? If you're old Adam leans toward luxury, the devil will put sinful gain in front of you. You know, fudge on that contract. Wink and nod and, turn your back on some of the illegal things that are going on. There's ways to get around the rules, and it'll be fine. It'll be all right. And what grand promises he makes. He promises with every sin, it's going to be fine, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about the consequences. There really aren't any consequences. He's trying to manipulate you according to your personality to defy the will of God and to do things and think things and ponder things that aren't ungodly. Eve was convinced that she would have great gain through sinning. She received only terrible loss. The devil promises riches and pleasure through theft. But what does he deliver? He delivers punishment. He promises pleasure through substances. And what does he deliver? He delivers disease through them and debilitation in its place. The devil always cheats. He promises great value and delivers to you monopoly money in return. We see how he cheated King Saul and he cheated David and he cheated Judas. The world is filled with those who reap the harvest of sinfulness, Satan's great bait and switch. On Judgment Day, the gates of hell will close upon the legions of which the devil promised great gain through the defiance of God, but who instead lost their souls following the devil's delusions. Surely the Bible's forceful description of the devil as a liar, a murderer, and a devourer is an apt one. It is the greatest of wisdom to turn away from temptation and believe not in the lying promises of the devil. Now, a second truth regarding sin, right, is that a person commits sin. It's like we can't blame other people for our sins. We can't try and throw it on somebody else. A person commits sins. They make decisions, and we've all been there. We've all walked through this. We've all done it, right? In every sin, there's a crucial moment where the Spirit of God is crying out in you, reject this. No, don't take that path, right? And we know it's there. We've had these battles in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits. There's a time when we can flee the tempter's power or give ear to the devil's words. Interestingly, Eve contemplated the words of the tempter. Well, the tree looks good. It's not bad. The fruit looks good. Smells good. Seems good. Feels good. Well, what could be wrong with it? Everything looks good. She knew God's will, but she thought, what if the words of the serpent are true? Can't we just try this forbidden fruit? Can't we try the forbidden fruit just once? And many a person, right, has been caught by that free sample that's not really free. Adam and Eve had it within their powers to resist the tempter's assault, for in their body there dwelt an uncorrupted will and an uncorrupted mind. Yet what did they do? They listened to the tempter. They listened to the tempter, and they fell. They tasted the fruit. Now the Bible rightly puts the fault of sin on mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So sin began in Satan and crept like a darkness and an icy shadow to mankind, and all were sinful. Adam had a son in his own likeness. We entered this life with original sin, and we go through this life committing actual sins. In the unrenewed state, what we call unregenerate, a person's condition in life is wholly sinful. There's nothing we can do. We can't make a motion towards God. We can't, choose God. We can't give our hearts to God. We can't do any of those things. We are completely bound. We don't have a free will. Our will is bound to wickedness and rebellion against God. We are incapable of anything good in God's sight. But a renewed person, or what we call regenerate person, is able to avoid many of the grosser sins, but still commits daily common sins because of the weakness of the flesh. We might not stab somebody with a knife, but we will stab their reputation in unwholesome talk and backbiting. We do those things. We shoot down somebody else's reputation by the words that we say. And although a person commits sins, we are always trying to slip the cuffs of guilt. Like, oh, not my fault. I didn't know. No, I didn't mean it that way, or I didn't mean to say that. We're trying to give extenuating reasons for our guilt, just like Adam and Eve did. We all said to our sins many a and then try to come up with some reason why we're not really at fault. It's not really us who's the problem. It's really somebody else who's the problem. When confronted with his sins by his Creator, what did Adam do? Adam blamed God, and he blamed his wife. Hey, no, the woman you gave me, she gave me some, and I ate. Not my fault. Not my problem, God. It's your problem. If you wouldn't have created her, none of this would have happened. Right? Adam is trying to get out of it by blaming God and blaming Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Not I listened to the serpent, but it was the serpent's fault. It was somebody else's fault. And, you know, we hear people blame their sin on heredity, society, environmental factors, and many other things. Now, while there are often contributing circumstances to sin, we are in and of ourselves responsible for the sins that we commit. And we must expect punishment for our sins at the hands of a holy and righteous God and a just God, a God who is rightly offended by the sins we commit. And punishment came to the first sinners, so punishment must be expected by all sinners. So we're not going to get out of being punished. You know, with sin brings its own punishment. And we must expect the sins, punishment for our sins at the hands of a holy God. The punishment is a guilty conscience, right? Oftentimes we commit sin and we have a guilty conscience. There's a guilt that goes along with that. There's shame, might result sometimes in bodily affliction. Some of the substances people consume create addictions, and there's bodily problems that come from that. You know, they lose their teeth, their skin falls off, their internal organs go bad. There's all kinds of problems that come with that. God's wrath and displeasure and temporal death, and finally upon the unrepentant comes eternal damnation. So we're all well aware that with sin comes its own punishment, and most sins bring their own punishment with them. What a prospect for a sinner. It's enough to drive a person to despair or to make them become so self-righteous that they're going to deny that they even sin. They'll end up thinking they don't sin. But that brings us to the third truth in regards to sin. It will give us much comfort. And the fact is that, yes, we sin, but God forgives sin. We'll say it again. God forgives sin. Let's not misunderstand. God doesn't condone sin. God doesn't wink and nod and turn a blind eye to our sins, but He forgives sins. He hates sin. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't excuse it. He threatens to punish all those who transgress His commandments. And it's evident from Scripture that God punishes sin. The serpent is cursed. Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden. There's pain in childbirth. There's hardness and difficulty in bringing food forth from the ground that we eat. Everything is cursed. The serpent is cursed. Adam and Eve are cursed. Death enters the world. And to this day, we all bear that punishment for sin. But although God does not condone sin, He does forgive sin. He says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15, the first promise of a Savior. And in those words, we hear about the one who would come and crush the serpent's head. Trembling, Adam and Eve could expect nothing but punishment and their anger and the wrath of God for their sins. Condemnation for themselves and their children because of their flaunting the will of God. Now they would have new hope, new confidence, new faith. God would forgive sins for the sake of the promised Redeemer of the world. And we know His name. His name is Jesus. True God and true man. The Son of God. God in the flesh, who would bear the curse for us, who would die on the cross for us, who would rise victorious from the grave for us, earning salvation for all of us who are poor, miserable sinners. That is our comfort and our assurance that by faith God forgives our sins for the sake of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have considered three important things this morning. Let us guard against the devil who tempts us to sin. Let us watch over our own lives lest we commit sin. And let us dwell on the forgiveness and mercy of God who forgives sins. Let us believe the precious gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Therein is the good news. God has taken care of our sinfulness. God has sent His Son to die in our place and to bear our sin and to bear our punishment. And in Jesus, we have forgiveness and life everlasting. In that Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now all rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, our first parents succumbed to the tempter's lies and brought sin and its consequences into the world. We ask that You would so protect us that we might foil the tempter's devious plans to cause us to stumble and fall into our own personal sins, bringing the effects of sin into our own lives. When we do sin, please, O God, forgive us out of Your merciful goodness and keep us on the way to life everlasting. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Hear us, O Christ, as we pray for those in our midst who are seeking health and healing in their lives. We ask Your hand of healing upon Pat Hinkle, that she would be strengthened in her time of physical weakness. Be with Jack and Jamie Bright as they continue to be strengthened in these early days of their lives. We ask You to comfort Nancy Olander as she seeks Your peace and strength in the days ahead. Strengthen also the mother and sister-in-law of Ray Gonzalez over as they continue to recover from an accident that they were involved in last week. And we ask that You would comfort Ray as he sits by their side, waiting for them to get out of the hospital. Dear Father, You have seen fit to cause Your word to dwell in our midst. Grant that we in no way despise Your word by ignoring it or taking it for granted. Let Your word dwell richly among us and grant us the wisdom to give heed to its teachings, that we might order our lives according to it, so that we find the appropriate paths to proclaim Your grace and mercy in our midst. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
And gracious God, we do pray for all those who mourn the loss of their loved ones, whether it was recently or weeks and days and months ago, or even years ago. We especially pray for those who mourn the loss of the loved ones this week. We pray for Donna as Steve was laid to rest this week. And we also pray for Sue Awe, who grieves the death of her sister. We ask You to comfort these women with Your grace and all who grieve and mourn. We ask You to bear them up with Your grace and peace. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Many are the prayers and petitions of Your dear people, that they are unspoken and known only to You. Give heed to these prayers that are unknown to us but are heard by You, giving Your answer to them and bestowing upon those who ask for the grace to say, Thy will be done. Through Jesus Christ we pray these things.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of the offertory. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, hymn number 427 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. A couple of announcements this morning. First of them, I have a note here from the congregational president that a voters meeting has been scheduled for March 8th between services. There is a continuation of the tuck pointing. Remember, we were working on the tuck pointing on this side of the church and some over here last summer. That needs to be continued, and that needs to be voted on to continue this side and the bell tower there. So that's a voters meeting on March 8th in between services on tuck pointing on the Kankakee side of the church and bell tower. Also, today is junior high and senior high together with breakfast and board games. And the youth groups will be serving breakfast to the senior members of the congregation, and then we'll all play games after that, a nice intergenerational activity. All seniors of the congregation are invited to that, and it'll be approximately at 11:30 is when it will begin. And it'll be over in the Fellowship Hall, Wittenberg Hall, across the way. And, you know, seniors, even if you didn't sign up, you forgot to sign up, please feel welcome to come to breakfast and board games. And youth group members, please come a little bit early so that you can help everything get ready. Also, next Sunday, I won't be here next Sunday. I'll be gone. And we had Pastor Johnson was going to fill in for me next Sunday. However, he's had some medical issues where he's going to be unable to do that. And I did my due diligence. I called around and tried to find another retired pastor to sub in. And that is not available for us. And so this service on next Sunday, Dr. Perry has graciously agreed as a called commissioned minister in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to lead matins for us. He will lead and sing matins for us next Sunday. And the elders fought over the opportunity to read the sermon from the lectern. It was amazing. You should have seen them. They were like, no me. But we will have each service will have an elder reading the sermon from the lectern. So that's next Sunday. Dr. Perry leading matins and an elder reading the sermon. It will be a lay-led service next Sunday. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.